If you will go to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at some things this morning about the qualifications of a bishop in a local church, and we'll break down some timeline differences here in a few minutes. But if you will, just look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying: if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless and the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, giving to hospitality, apt to teach, not giving to wine nor striker, not greedy or greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, and not a brawler nor a covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be a good report, have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall with reproach and the snare of the devil. As we're looking here at Kent Grace Fellowship, we're going through an ambassadorship course to encourage us how we need to govern ourselves. When you get to Paul's epistles, the first thing you do in Paul's epistles, you come to the fact that one is lost. Okay, and once you get saved, you trust Christ, died for your sins, buried and rose again. You find that in doctrine, if you will, teachings, and the local church is very, very important to secure that teachings. And you know myself, I consider myself the bishop of Canton Grace Fellowship. It's not no high office. You know, I'm higher than you guys. It just means overseer. And my desire in 2005 is to be an overseer, be a bishop of a local church. And in doing so, we started the church in 2005, and many of you was hit here, and you've grown with us and all. And as you look through who you are in Christ Jesus, the first thing we did in our church, we went through the book of Romans. Okay, that's the first book of doctrine that Paul lays, that God through Paul has laid out for the body of Christ. Now, for the nation Israel, they had books of doctrine too, didn't they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they'll have books of doctrine over here in ages to come, won't they? Hebrews through Revelation, those books are like their books of what they'll study to make help them understand the time, the age that God's within. Our books are Romans through Philemon. You know, we always says all the Bible is what? For you, but it's not all to you. And we'll maybe get to that here in a little bit as far as that. But it's my responsibility as a bishop of Kent Grace Fellowship, there's some qualifications here. And, you know, I look at some of those things like, y'all run me all here. But, you know, if you're in Christ Jesus, think about this. When you're in Christ Jesus, aren't you blameless? You know, aren't you perfect in Christ Jesus and all? But before we go there and break that down, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm just going to share a little bit about the timeline behind us. It's not just a chart, it's a timeline, what God has laid out in His Word. And as the bishop of Canton Grace Fellowship, if you will, I have to protect this doctrine. I have to encourage people to stand. Okay, there's people outside these doors, and you know them, and you know them well, that do not hold true, one, to the Word of God, and two, to Pauline truths. You know, so it's very, very important to see some things. Once you're saved, that you need to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." You see, in what there's a time period there, correct? But hold your finger there and go to the first verse of that chapter. "And he was quickened, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." There's a time in your life that you was dead in trespasses and sins. But something happened, didn't it? Okay, what happened? You heard the word, you heard the gospel, you trusted, you believed it, he saved you, you're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. But keep reading. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There was a time that all of us had walked the course of this world. Whether you want to believe it or not, you did. Okay? Again, among whom also we all had. I love that. Because guess what all means? That's right. All had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I don't care how you slice or dice it, we were that way. But look at this next word, but God. That word is wonderful, isn't it? And we're going to see it again here in a few minutes. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love within us, wherewith He loved us. That's individual. Individually, you were without, you was alienated. You was walked the course of this world. Now, go back over here to verse 11. Now you're going to see there was a national identity with the world that God had made, if you will. In times past, Gentiles in the flesh who were was called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You see the word uncircumcision? You see the word circumcision? Okay, that's two groups of people. Got it? And what time period was that? It says exactly the very next verse, that in that time, times past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Many of you know this, and I'll tell you again, that verse scared me. No one ever showed me that verse in my young Christian life of growing up in the church, and I grew up a Baptist church, you know, Southern Baptist. They had the right doctrine, not just joking. You know, but I'm saying nobody ever showed me that verse. And they did not show me the ones that we read in verse 2 and 3. You know, that scares me almost as this place right here. Hell, a fiery torment. Because I heard all about that. But I never heard that in times past I was without God, without covenants, without promise, without hope. If you really think about that should really set you back a little bit and make you think about somebody else out there that has no hope and without covenants, without promise. But there was a group of people in times past. Hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is saying, hey, if I could lose my salvation, if I could be accursed, I would. But he knew he couldn't. Look at verse 4. Who are Israelites? Now, let me ask you before you read any further. God, we read back over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, 12, there was circumcision and uncircumcision. There are two different types of people. In the timeline, in times past, we'll deal with Genesis and Malachi, and even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Whether you want to believe or not, it's in times past. We may not do that today because of the fact that many of you know where you're at. But in times past, God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. You understand? Circumcision was God's people. Okay? He made a covenant with one man, didn't he? Abraham. And through that man, his seed was going to be blessed. And when you bless Abraham's seed, you got blessings. So God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. The uncircumcision on your timeline is this bottom line down here. They're always down here on the bottom. God elevated one group of people above all nations, and that's the nation Israel. You agree or disagree? Agree, okay? That's what's a, so in times past, God made that distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. We just acknowledge in His Word to be true, if you want to believe it. That's between you and God and fence posts. But look, Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of law, and the services of God, and promises? Who are the fathers of whom concerning the flesh Christ came and is over all God blessed forever? Let me ask you something. Would that be an advantage there? If you had promises, if you had adoptions, if you had glory, if you had covenants, if you had laws, if you had the service of God, would that be an advantage? I would like to have that advantage, wouldn't you? That's right. We'll keep looking. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We know in times past, they was here. They had an advantage. But according to this verse, in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, in that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Advantage or disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
Right? Guess what? That's who the Gentiles were. If you was not in a covenant with the Israel, a promise, or become an Israelite or a Jew, you was in a disadvantage. You was a disadvantage, and that is a separation that God made in verse 11, a separation, and we have to acknowledge that. Okay? Verse 12 is a disadvantage for the people that was in times past uncircumcised. In Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, what advantage then have the Jew? And what profit is the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them committed the oracles of God. They had it going on, didn't they, guys and gals? They had it going on. And God worked through His program. He gave Israel time and time again. And as Bob was talking about, you know, we'll see in a minute, they have fallen. They're not up here anymore as far as the circumcision and a nation to be blessed. They're down here with all the other nations, and that confuses some people, and it makes a lot of people angry, don't it? When you start messing with Israel today and all that. But look, they had an advantage there that God made, and God gave them every opportunity to be the world government. The whole world was supposed to be on Israel looking to. But everybody else down here. Verse 13. But now. That's Ephesians 2, 13. But now. In Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's a spiritual wall. Not only was they a physical wall between circumcision and uncircumcision, a physical wall. There was a spiritual wall that God put around a group of people that it's just like everybody wearing glasses in here today was in the circumcision. Okay? Everybody not wearing glasses today and contacts don't count today. But everybody without was in the uncircumcision. So ones with glasses in here today would be in the covenants of promises, okay? Had adoptions, had everything given by God. But if you look around, there's four or five of us in here without glasses on. Where are they at? Down here on the bottom. That's what that, if you want to think about that type of analogy, that's what that means. But look, but now in Christ Jesus, ye He's talking to the Ephesian church, a group of Gentiles, right? Ye, who sometimes were far off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Something's changed. Something's changed. And verse 14, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. You see that middle wall? What was the middle wall?
Circumcision.
And what fortified that circumcision?
The law.
The law. So there's a legal wall there. Not only there was a spiritual wall between us, there's a legal wall that says you can't come in here. You're going to die. And I have never seen it. Many of you have been to Israel and places like that, but they claim that there was a 4-foot wall around the court. In Jerusalem, where God's ordained His city to be, okay, the rule and reign, there was a court of Gentiles in that Jewish courthouse. Y'all know that. And there also was a 4-foot barrier around there. And it had written on there, basically, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, meaning if you stepped in here where the circumcision is, it meant death. Think about Paul when he took Timothy or Titus in there and they drug him out. You brought this Gentile in here. And Titus or Timothy, Timothy was Greek. I'm getting at that. But Titus wasn't, and he was half a Jew too. But one of the other didn't get circumcised, and they pulled him out. You know, you brought this Gentile in here. Okay, it meant death. I might have my stories mixed up a little bit, so just bear with me. Y'all can correct me afterwards. But it meant death. There's a spiritual wall. Then it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, how many new men?
One
new man, so making peace. Let me share this with you. Verses 13, 14, and 15 is dealing with the world, okay? And you will not find it in times past books of prophecy. You understand what people want to know about prophecy all the time, don't they? You know, they write books and movies, and if it don't fulfill, they still write books and movies, and you still buy that stuff. But the thing is, what you just read there, you can't find in times past. You can't find in the prophecy books. Because what God is doing now, in the but now, is something found in Paul's epistles, and it's really called reconciliation. God is... Yes, sir?
That middle wall came down with the saving of Paul, right? Is that when it came down, the middle wall?
No. Acts 21, yes. Yes.
Acts 21?
Yeah. Because there was still a wall up. Now, there's still a wall up. Even after Christ Jesus has died, the first Acts 1 through 7, they were still not going to the Gentiles.
I thought that occurred when the tent ripped when Christ died.
Well, let me get this straight. Probably when all of that was the symbolic that it was coming down, but who knew that? Peter didn't know it. James didn't know it. You know what I mean? So that's why it's very, very important to understand through Paul, as Leon bringing up, we understand now that the middle wall is gone. Okay? He was under ordinances, and Paul knew all those ordinances and covenants and promises. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Follow me? He knew all that stuff. But when God struck him down, let's back up a little bit before we get there. The reconciliation, verses 16 and 18, and that he might reconcile both unto God one body by the what? Not at the cross. Had a big professor in here one day, right, sitting right there one day, and he says, it was at the cross. It was at the cross all this happened. It's like what you mentioned at the cross. And I said, I see what you're saying. At the cross, think about it though. At the cross, where I first saw light. Where did I just see the light at? See, the cross was the instrumentality of what has happened to transpire where we're at today. through Paul. That's all you find out. At the cross is where I first saw light. But it's by the cross that the instrument of my salvation rests plus nothing else. Israel started falling. Absolutely. And but still, when you don't find that out to Paul though, that you know it's very very clear because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's still going to the circumcision. God, Son, God in the flesh, if you will, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Him Himself said, I come for nobody but who? The lost sheep, the house of Israel. There was lost sheep out there that didn't understand what God was doing and wasn't a part of His plan. He was going after them. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is very, very clear the fact that even the woman that asked Him to save him, He said, it's not meek. Well, don't take my word for it. Go to Matthew chapter 15. You never take your preacher's word for it. Yeah, you got to look at this stuff, and we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I just want to let you know that there's a spiritual wall and a legal wall and a physical wall that kept us from being up here with Israel, and people today still try to put you under that law and walls and make that wall. You can't be a part of us, and they can't be a part of you. That's just ignorance. Matthew 15. Verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Okay? She knew who he was, didn't she? She called him what? Lord, son of who? David. She's been around and listening to some things, hadn't she? But keep reading. But he answered her not a... How many times have you probably looked over that and thought nothing of that? You think about that. A woman crying at the Lord Jesus Christ and he answered her not a word. As if he just keeps walking. We do that to our kids sometimes. You know, just jokingly. I know your grandchildren's a little different, aren't they? You know, maybe. But anyway, look. It says, He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. Not only is she crying after the Lord Jesus Christ, now she's crying after the disciples. But He answered and said, The Lord still didn't answer the woman yet. Okay, you with me?
Canaanite woman.
Okay, the Canaanite woman, she's a Gentile. She's not a God-fearing Gentile that paid much alms to Israel, like Cornelius, like the Roman centurion that Lord Jesus Christ talks about, and people just list that Roman up so much. Oh, see what he did? He blessed Israel, so he's going to get blessings. Okay? You know, well... We talked about that before. I'm not going to get there today. But look, but he answered and said, I am not sent into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Where are you at? Hold your finger there and go to Romans 15. Y'all should have rabbit trails all through your Bible right now. You ought to be able to be telling me what to do up here. Say, sit down, Ed. Let me take over from here. But look, Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises unto who? Made. Paul is telling you, and when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he was a minister of who? Okay, so go back to 15, Matthew 15. Who has he come for? A minister of who? The circumcision. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I know in the grace circles and a grace movement. That's why you don't... sheep... Are you familiar with sheep? You're not sheep. Amen. Your goats are a little different. Goats are a little ornery. You know, they got their own mind. But you know, a sheep will follow a goat. Sheep are very vulnerable people. Animals. Okay? I love when my old preacher used to say, sheep are stupid. And you know, I know some of you are like, whoa, they are. And the most loving word you could say is vulnerable. That's how God treated the nation Israel, sheep. They needed a shepherd. They needed a pastor. Okay? You don't need a pastor. You're not sheep. You're saints of the Most High God. That's why you have a bishop. That's why you have elders. That's why you have deacons. Okay? The terminology changes for humans. Just joke. But look, go back. Look, it says, verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She don't give up, does she? Okay? Verse 26, but he answered. He finally answers her. After he talks to his disciples, right? After he goes down the chain of command and he explains to them what he's there for. And that's why it's very, very important to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ picked the 12 and he's feeding them. And we talk about this all the time. Don't ever forget this. And they teach you this in first aid or whatever the case may be. If you're in an airplane or if you're bleeding, you take care of yourself first, don't you? Before you'd be able to help somebody else. So God had to feed the nation Israel, had to feed His 12 disciples, apostles. They had to be fed and filled before they could go to the other nations. Okay? Same as you. Same as you. You're being fed and you're being filled, and some of you are overfilled and overflowing, okay, with the Word of God rightly divided, where you know how to handle yourself with the Word, and you go outside and you know how you, it changes your circumstances in your life, doesn't it? Knowing what the right thing it does. But he says, then he came and worshiped, and he answered, it is not meek. Now, you think about this. He finally answers, the Lord Jesus Christ finally answers me. And I'm waiting on my daughter's vexed. I'm waiting on him to say, go, she's healed. But what does he say? It is not meek to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Oh, man, I would just melt. Lord, circumcision, uncircumcision. Do you know what the circumcision would call these group of people down here? Did not Goliath come to David and says, you treat me like a Philistine dog? You know? Yeah? That's what it is. Jew, Gentile, dog. Name calling. Does that go on today amongst religion? Yes. It's no different. That's why nothing surprises me anymore. What don't surprise me? Well, no. I shouldn't say nothing surprises me anymore. So just, you know what? Stand. And we talked about that over the course of period. There's things going to hit you in your life with doctrine, with family, and they ain't going to believe you, and they're going to tell you not to come around them no more. And we have family members that's going through some things right now. You know, I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt. I don't wear it proudly, but, you know, there's scars. And there's scars here, aren't they? And they get up in here and it gets scarred and it gets deciphered down and you don't know how to do some things. I was telling Jack today, you know, we had the number 3 driver quit. Okay? I'm like, oh wow, I'll get his truck. Mind you, I'm number 2 driver. You know, and they never treat me like I'm a number 2 because whatever I would tell Ed to do, Ed to do it. You know, that's my job. Okay? That's the way I look at it. I may not agree with it, but that's my job. And I talk like, hey, I'll get his truck. Well, my boss goes, well, I'm going to give it to so-and-so. Well, yeah, you might as well be. I'm like, what? We talked about this. If any of them two quit, I wanted his job. He wanted his truck. Well, I'm going to give you a brand spanking new one in 3 weeks. This is, yeah, you know, that's what my mind started thinking. Well, I know how fast that truck goes. The other ones don't go that fast. This new one's coming up with electronic logs, if Dan knows what I'm talking about. This new one's coming up with a Bendix system that if you get too close to somebody, it starts warning you. It's got all the bells and whistles. Yeah, probably. You know, my wife is praying, please don't get in that truck, that other one. She knows what I like to do. You know? And you know, I'm, as a truck driver, you're like, highway, open. That's what you think. I got one. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I don't do. I wear. Yeah. I'm taping, so I got to watch. I got to watch what I say. You may be used against me. But you think about those things, I'm like, that's not the answer I wanted to hear, boss. You told me to speak up. So this woman back here is saying this. And by the way, that new truck, it's got what I need in it. In all reality. You know the TV, it's got a bar that comes around like that in front of your bunk that your flat screen will hook to. Yeah. I don't have that in my truck. My truck's only 4 years old. Or less than that. So I think it's 2009 or something.
So you're happy about this new truck?
The electronic logs.
Once the electronic logs come in, I tell them, hey,
I know. That's what Dan was telling me. He goes, another driver, Dan, he was telling me, he goes, you know, ours bare bones. You don't want that. But everybody's going to it. Yeah. But anyway, look, get back here. Get off of me for a minute. Get back here. Look. Verse 26, it's not meek to take the children's bread and cast it to the...
One of your other preachers telling us that the Lord's calling the lady a dog.
You would never hear that. When I shared that years ago with a couple at my house, going over some things dispensationally looking at and brought that verse up, first thing she said, what Bible are you using? She thought I was using Ed's version. And her husband said, the same Bible you have. Nobody ever looks at that. Nobody ever teaches you that. But look, and she said, truth, Lord. She's acknowledged that, didn't she? Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Times pass. Circumcision. Uncircumcision. Times pass. She understood knowing that who God was and God's program, she put her position down here under Israel. Because blessing Israel was what you had to do to get God's blessings. You either had to bless Israel, I bless them who bless you, and I curse those who curse you, or you became a proselyte. You could become a Jew, if you will. You could not become a Hebrew. You understand that? You had to be born a Hebrew. Okay? The Hebrews had it all. The Jewish is the religion. Okay? And you became part of that religion that God created. We all know that. But look, she knew her position. And at that night, that table, I got under my kitchen table. I'll eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'll just take them. You know, like that. And you think about what God says right here. Look. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made after 14 treatments, after 17 doctor's visits, after going to the Amish country and getting all the vitamins that you tea leaves. Made whole that very hour. That's the God that I serve. Okay? I don't serve no make believe God. I know God. He was God. He was Lord. And when He touched somebody, He made them whole. He didn't go through Benny Hinn's, you know, and all that, you know, JJ said it before I did. I'm just repeating what he said. But look, I'm serious. You know what I mean? He made you whole, straightway and immediately. That is totally different than Luke 13. Go to Luke 13 right quick. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yes, sir. Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he came to her, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities. And laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Okay? No question asked. Boom. But what's going on here? The rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, Thou art 6 days in which a man ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrites, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of
Abraham?
Bingo.
Hebrew Jew.
Okay. She was a daughter of Abraham, and through God's program in times past, she's got the covenants, the promises, the glory, everything. Period. That's the difference between the Gentile woman. That's what it was in times past. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to spend too much more time on that, but look, Ephesians chapter 2. I just give you a little bit and pieces. You know the verses. You know. I don't want to say story. You know the truth. You know, I posted on Facebook that day. I said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And some people commented, like, if people with the scientists and all that just believe those five words, then they would make a difference in their life. And I said, that's God's story, and He's sticking to it. You know, whether we want to believe it or not, this is God's Word, and He's sticking to it. And it's just up to us to understand and say, you know something, I may not know everything, but I want to be right. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 once again. Okay, but now, verse 13, but now, something's changed. That's how I just opened up the timeline. And with Paul, something's changed in Christ Jesus. Those who were far off, who was far off? The Gentiles are made nigh, how? By the blood of Jesus Christ. By trusting what Christ did at the cross, right? And by the cross, we understand what He did for all people. But we don't know that until Paul, because when Jesus died and was buried and rose again, He come back to the 12 and they had a 40-day seminar, didn't He? Bible study. 40 days after Christ died and buried and rose again, He came back to Pentecost. He came back with the baptizing of the Holy Spirit and taught them for 40 days. And from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7 or 8, things still didn't change in time past. Okay? They still didn't change. He still said, well, what was the first question they asked Him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6? When will you again restore the kingdom? They didn't say, hey Lord, God see you. You know, we're going to do this. When will you again restore the kingdom unto who? Acts 11, to the Jew first, this message was going to. Okay? So in Acts, you got to really watch how you do Acts. Acts, if you read Acts like this, if you start in chapter 1, go to chapter 28, and you start reading the book of Acts, if you know who the primary, I know there's two characters in there, Peter and Paul. Okay? We know that.
Mary wasn't there.
Yeah. Peter and Paul, Mary. They didn't have the rock band until what, 62 or something? But it's okay. Look, Mary, but who was the primary people in there that you read about? Yeah, Israel. There you go, Israel. So we look at it as a transitional book from taking you out of this law kingdom program into a non-law grace program. But also look at the fact he's dealing with Israel. He is explaining to Israel everything that's going on. And man, you know, getting back to that guy last couple weeks ago, I told him, I said, if you would read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, fully read it and study it out, God is, through Paul, is telling the nation Israel, it's just like, let's just do this. We in here are grace believers. We trust Christ died for your sin, buried, and rose again. You're seated in heavenly places. You're part of a living organism that he's going to take you out of here and place you in heavenly places. But say there's a little, Israelite Hebrew over there in the back that is going like this in the back of class. What about me? Paul, you're talking all this stuff about, you know, what he's doing today with the Jew and Gentile, but I was saved in this program over here. What about me? What about me? He goes, turn to page, Romans chapter 9. Let me explain what God is going to do with you. He hasn't forgot about you. Your program, that kingdom program that God was prophesied and offered, and now it's offered, it's postponed. This is what God's doing. So the Hebrew in the back is going, praise God. I understand. I'm getting with Paul's program to help Paul out. Not that he can get in the body of Christ, but he can help explain what's going on. And if you were really look at Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, and study it that way, you can understand what Israel's doing, can't you? And then after that, but now, you go down through there, having abolished his flesh and enmity and law, commandments and ordinance, for to make in himself one new man. God's making one man, new man. Not 12. Follow me? One new man that it's going to seat up in the heavenly places. Then he says, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are made nigh. There's no longer a spiritual wall. There's no longer a legal wall. There's no longer a physical wall that keeps us separated from God Almighty. You have total access to God Himself today. Okay? You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through no church. You don't have to go through no toll booth or a mediator. God Almighty is sitting there waiting for you. And then over in verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7, that in ages to come he might show forth exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You had times past, you had but now, and then you have ages to come. And when ages to come, God takes us out of here, and He's going to show exceeding riches through His grace, dealing with the nation Israel on earth when it's all said and done, and the body of Christ in heaven. This over here, the tribulation period, the kingdom, the millennium kingdom, judgment, it all has to do in Hebrews through Revelation. And the people over here in ages to come, they'll pick up this book, and they'll look at Hebrews. That's what Christ is doing. And they'll take that Hebrew book and start teaching as a doctrine. He's the priest. He's the mediator. He's done shed His blood. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They're going to be preaching Hebrews just like we preach Romans for doctrine. Then the book of James. You know, Dan told me, he said, man, you get the Hebrews, don't do too bad. You get to James, he's like, man, he's pounding. He's like a madman. You know, like, not a madman, but, you know, he's reproofing. He's like in his face. Have you not ever read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians? And Paul in their face, reproofing them. You're saved, you're carnal minded, do this, do that. And then you get the book of Hebrews, James. What's the next one? John? Peter? I don't even know my book's the Bible. Hebrews. Hebrews, James. James, Peter. There you go. You get to Peter, a book of correction for the nation Israel over here to help them understand. There are going to be some Gentiles over here wanting what Israel's got. Y'all understand that? Okay? There are some Gentiles today's wanting what Israel's got, but what benefit is it? None, because they're down here. God tells us through Paul that there's no difference between Jew and Gentiles, for they all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody's down here. What is that? Everything's level at the foot of the cross, that type of thing? Everything's leveled down here with the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, you read something about the world. It's reconciling the world. Okay? Who's in the world? Everybody. Peter's over here is a book of correction. Then what's after Peter?
John.
Doctrine, reproof, correction. Doctrine. Okay? John is another book of doctrine, just like Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, doctrine, reproof, correction, Ephesians. John's a book of correction. We get in a lot of trouble with people out of the book of 1 John, don't we? That tries to make that their what? Doctrine. You must be born again. And all that, you know, that type of thing.
Confession.
And you know, all that. If you confess these sins, He's faithful and true to confess you. But let me ask you this. What if you don't confess all your sins?
Still forgiven.
And so, isn't He still faithful and true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that. Hey, you know, I've tried it all. I've tried laying my head down thinking of everything I've said bad about you guys. Just joking. And I fell asleep when it came to JJ. And I woke up and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, God didn't forgive me. But He did, didn't He, brother?
All day.
I mean, you don't do that. You don't confess to God those things. God's already forgiven you of everything you ever thought of doing in the past, present, future. What I do, when I do JJ wrong, guess what I do? I go to JJ. I coveted your chickens today, so I'm coming over and getting one of them, that type of thing. You know, but you know what I mean? You, that's how it teaches you, but the book of doctrine. But they'll take Hebrews through Revelations and lift them up and understand them just like you're doing Romans through Philemon. Don't think they won't, people. I know this world seems like it's a madhouse and nobody's wanting to understand it. When we share some things with them, they want to close their door in their face. You know, don't. You just continue to do what's right and stand fast. Okay, that's what God wants. He wants faithful people. And getting back to your bishop, and we'll pick this up later on, but we'll go down those orders and we can describe some things there. But my responsibility here is to teach all that wants to listen and be able for you to be fed and be built up and go outside these doors and live the life that God wants you to live. I'm not going to come down on you and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. Much as you want to tell me, say, Ed, you need to do this and you need to do that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not to have dominion over your faith, but to be what? Helpers of your joy. And the same here. We come here corporately as a house of God and be the pillars and grounds of the truth, and we'll pick that up later on, the knowing that what we are here for. When you hurt, I hurt. When I hurt, I always say you smile, but you don't. You feel, you know, we all feel. You know, I'm just joking sometimes. We're a little unorthodox here. You know that. You should know me by now. But the thing is, we got to understand the Canton Grace Fellowship, who we are and what we preach. And you need to know what your bishop preaches and why. You know. Father, we do thank You for the day, and we thank You for the things You've given us. And at this time, Lord, as we close this service, that we thank You for so much in our life. We thank You for Your Son that came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again. And Lord, if there's one person here listening today that they may be fully understand that You did die for my sins and buried and rose again, and they can rest in that assure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.